No.
Yes.
Don't record this.
It's too
don't
late.
Do not record this. You do not have my permission.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
It is against federal law to record this. If you record this, I will see you in court.
Okay. Here, let's make it juicier if you're going to do it in court. I'm so glad we neutered that fucking asshole.
No, you did it wrong. I hate to critique your recitation of that, but you have to go. You have to sound like somebody who has, you know, done like the least minimal effort to continue existing.
Oh, okay.
Like you have to be like,
okay.
I am so glad I endured that fucking asshole.
So I have to really sound like I'm just like almost mush mouthing my way through this.
Yeah.
To bring up another controversial figure. Mushmouth, the controversial figure.
Wait, what did Mushmouth do?
It's not
he wasn't
what
responsible
did.
For any of that.
It's that thing where we live in an era where it's impossible to separate the art from the artist. So anything that Cosby did, Mushmouth also did.
Yeah, I you know all these hippies driving around in their Volkswagens, bunch of Nazis.
Ah, assholes. It,
yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow.
So. I've changed my mind. You may record this. You may start recording now.
Okay. I will begin. Okay, so I'll just cut out everything we recorded before this.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because I did not have your permission then, but I have your permission now.
Right. And I may retract my permission on and off throughout the recording.
So. Okay, so if this gets really sporadic, I apologize to anyone listening. There's going to be probably bits where just Slime Beast changes his mind.
Yeah, I, in fact, let's set this out right away. Let's clear this up right off the bat so we don't have to worry. Just cut me out from 5 minutes to 5 minutes and 10 seconds.
Okay.
Bleep out what I say at 15 minutes and 24 seconds.
Okay.
And cut out the entire last 5 minutes of the recording.
You got it. Future David, did you get all that?
Nah.
Good. Okay. I'm presuming that confirmation, that sound confirmation we just got for him was the affirmative.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Welcome to, you have permission to record this analysis, I guess?
Possibly.
Yeah. It's been a little while, but it hasn't. It's only been about a week since the last episode, but it's been a little while since we've had Slime Beast on the show. Hey, Slime Beast.
Well, hey there, kids. How you doing? It's your Uncle Slime Beast. Why don't you come over here so I can see how you've grown? Come here.
All right, yeah. So, there's now a small line of children ready to get on his lap. I'm a little concerned.
Let me come over here. You can, don't monetize my stories, you little brat. You don't get presents. You don't get a Werther's original if you monetize my stories.
Yeah, have a Werther's.
God.
That should just be a tagline for everything. Slime Beast, here, have a Werther's.
Yeah. There you go. Do I sense the new Undercooked Analysis t-shirt?
Undercooked Analysis. Here. Have a Werther's.
Yeah, there you go.
And then in really small text, copyright Slime Beast 2018.
See, they have Werther's originals. I want to buy a bag of Werther's bootlegs. I don't know what they are, but if there's originals, there have to be knockoffs.
They're exclusively shipped in boots. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But not in the bottom of the boot. You have to check the leg of the boot.
Yeah, they're like pre-licked and everything, so they're like stuck throughout.
Yeah.
The boot,
you know? Yeah, it's like ABC gum.
Yeah, there you go.
Already been chewed.
Yes.
So I was before we dive into this, I had a realization today as I was driving here to get ready to do the recording, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I realized you know, for those who haven't listened to a lot of previous Undercooked Analysis, I want to point out right now, Slimy and I have kind of we've talked before about Candle Cove and about our one of the reasons you're not super keen on the story is because of the soul, like, yes, and then this thing happened. Don't you remember when that thing happened?
Ugh.
I just had a fantastic revelation.
Oh, yes?
That might save the story. What's actually happening is a giant group improv session.
Ah, I see.
So
I see.
They're yes-anding each other, and in the process, inadvertently creating this show that no one actually remembers, but now the improv is so strong that they do remember it, because they have to believe it. Me being an expert on improv, you know, just hot improv takes from me all the time, without fail.
So basically, what happened was Chris Straub was in a local improv theater class.
Yes, that was an online forum.
Yeah. they had a show and they said to the audience, name any profession. And someone in the audience, just one lone guy, shouted out, puppet. And they were like, what?
Well, we got to go with it. Can't refuse. Okay.
And, you know, somebody else, can we get a different profession? Someone from the other side of the audience, pirate. Oh, fuck. Okay.
I like so how the entire pirate. Audience is made up of, hey, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Steve.
But yeah, that's what happened.
There you go.
And what should our puppet pirates be doing? Let's name a fun activity, something you like to do in the summer.
Screaming.
No.
Well, I like it.
No one asked you, Tony.
That's what happened. That's how the story came to be.
Yep. You believe, it's like that. It's that whole, you believe in something hard enough, or you improv something hard enough, it comes into being. At least I thought it was a good bit. Anyway, it's time to put ourselves out of our misery and drink some patron's poison. What do you think?
I thought you were going to go somewhere completely else with that, and I was like, fucking finally. Okay, but yeah, okay, so patron's poison.
Yep, so we have a poison submitted to us today by our old friend, username 159. We still don't know who or what username actually is. For all I know, it's a very, very good bot.
That could be.
This explains the name.
So let's read this story that username sent to us. We're not sure if he's a bot. The title is XXX Asian Webcam Erectile Dysfunction Pill by here. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's written by a Nigerian prince.
Yes, of course.
Okay, this is perfect.
All right, first paragraph, I'll take it.
Go ahead.
My friend, I recently was deposed and... yeah.
I was wondering, says username, how to get this story here due to where it's hosted, but the web archive had my back here. Because I guess it got taken down. By the way, we were looking at the web archive version of a story that used to be on the old version of creepypasta.com. I assume this is pre-Ian Schutt's creepypasta.com?
This is BC, but the C stands for a rather rude word. So.
Before charlatan.
Yeah, there you go. Before charlatan. There you go. Perfect.
So, it just should be fair to bring up that we are reading, yes, I shit you not, a web archive version of a website that already exists, but I guess the story doesn't anymore.
Man, it's so nice to look at it without ads all over. Oh,
yeah.
It's so beautiful.
I have a few tabs on the side that say run Adobe Flash, but I don't think I will. Thank you.
So beautiful. It's almost as if the story is the main thing you want to look at.
Yeah, what a revolutionary concept. Let me just chef kiss this real quick. Mwah! So, I got spit all over the screen. Let me fix that.
Nice, okay. Nice.
So this story is called A Madman's Guide to the Unrecommended, and it at the time had an 8.6 out of 10, and this was archived from July 18th, 2016.
July 18th, eh?
Yes. On this
day. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. It's archived on. Okay, yeah. I see. I was looking at the post date.
Oh, okay. Well, it was. Yeah. It was posted April 3rd. So.
Yeah.
Do you think we only got the? Actually, I'm curious. Do you think we only got the web archive version because the username is considerate enough that to know that we don't want to send traffic to creepypasta.com?
Maybe. I don't know. Could be. Username may be the biggest proponent of moving away from creepypasta. And toward something else entirely. I wonder what we could call it. I don't know. Some sort of fear-based fiction. Some sort of fear fic. I don't know.
Some sort of terror tale. That won't catch on, will it?
Some terror tale. You know what? Terror Tales was actually my favorite Jim Henson cartoon from the 80s.
You know?
Except it was T-A-I-L-S, but yeah.
Oh, Terror Tay, I see.
Yeah.
Was that one that was a precursor to the Dark Crystal, but it was just way scarier?
Yeah, I think so. It had all the same things. It had puppets. It had screaming. Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
A full circle.
An introduction. First and foremost, a few matters of introduction have to be placed down. You are probably wondering who I am. What am I called? What does the barista misspell on my steaming paper cup? Well...
my name is Jerisim. It's often misspelled.
Well, hello. I am writing in you to tell you about a show called Happy Happy. This is my first lesson to you, and I promise we will get into much more detail soon. Your name is a very precious thing, you see. And unless you are suicidal, a fool, or think you have what it takes to face the consequences, don't ever give out your real name willy-nilly. Isn't that right, Slime Beast?
How did he know my real name was willy-nilly? Oh, my God. Son of Reginald J. Nilly.
William S. Nilly.
The S stands for silly? Is that what I'm gathering?
I kind of miss G. William Wieners.
G. William Wieners. G. Bill, two wieners.
G. Willie, why does your mom help you have so many fucking wieners? I'm fairly... What?
G. Willie, how did you get your name? Well, my mom named all her kids after things she really liked.
I'm fairly positive. You wouldn't want to take that risk. That being said, I still must give you some way of acknowledging my existence. You may call me the Madman. Am I mad? Am I a man? Well, you will just have to wait and see, dear reader. Also, don't assume my gender.
I like that. You may call me the Tall Boy. Am I tall? Am I a boy? Who's to say? You just fucking told us. What do you... You may call me, you know, Giant Purple Tree. Am I a tree? Am I purple? Who's to say? Like... You're giving us descriptors.
Am I mad? Am I a mad? No, in fact, I'm a completely sane woman.
Yes, because if there's one thing a completely sane woman would do, it's ask you to call her the Madman.
Well, I mean, again, we're living in a more enlightened age where people can decide who they want to be.
People can be trans sane, you know? They can be sane but want to be mad,
well,
you know?
Can you... Oh, what is it? Can you identify as insane kin?
Careful.
Insane
kin. Yeah, there you go. I'm insane kin. I'm not actually insane. I just
I identify
kin,
as
it's
insane.
Like I got news for you. You're insane if you're insane kin. But, yeah.
Look, I am. Look, it's June and it's Pride Month, and I just want to say that you know, I'm totally cool and supportive of everybody, no matter what they want to be, unless you're other kin, and then I'm just really confused.
There you go.
Yeah.
What about, well...
It's fair to kind of gently poke fun at other kin, right? Because it's just bizarre.
I think that it's okay to gently poke fun at joke kin, but not the other kin, I think.
We can't poke fun at serious kin, because they identify as being serious about everything.
The sequel to Serious Sam...
Serious kin. I am your cousin, Serious Sam. I'm your Serious kin. I think that these two paragraphs are kind of paragraphed together. So why don't you take the next one?
Well, you stopped at Dear Reader, correct?
Right, but I feel like it's that's supposed to be a paragraph, and then
okay,
you take the next
I gotcha. One. I gotcha.
Yeah.
For your sake, I'm going to assume that you had some idea of what you were getting into when you picked up this guide. And if you didn't, go ahead.
We picked this up?
Apparently.
Okay.
Maybe this was somebody took this down after getting a printout at a truck stop.
Oh, okay. This is a transcript of a guide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a transcript of a guide.
We cried a river and drowned the whole world. Wait, what?
And if you didn't, well, by all means, keep reading. Just put your back to a door and cover every window and mirror in your room. We wouldn't want anything to happen to you now, would we? Shall we begin? Okay, now this is the point where I wonder, is this tongue-in-cheek?
I don't know. The tone of the madman is very, like, I almost want to read this in a bit of, like, either the Crypt Keeper voice or maybe a little bit of Mark Hamill's Joker. Or maybe someone trying to do a bad Jack Nicholson impression?
Maybe all three at once.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, by all means, keep reading. Just put your back to the door, open, get on the floor, and walk the dinosaur.
Yes.
we could read it like Ed Wynn. That could work.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I could freak Kayla out, because for some reason, she always gets really freaked out. Hi, Kayla. She always gets really freaked out when I do this voice.
I wonder why. Maybe if you wouldn't do it in the throes of passion, maybe that would, I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, I still want to yell Excelsior at the end, but maybe I'll take out the Edwin voice when I do that.
Maybe.
Your birth name. This is a good place to start as any. it's a vital piece of knowledge if you want to have absolutely anything to do with the supernatural world. When you are dragged out of refuse and muck, screaming and kicking into the world, you are vulnerable. Hey, that's rude.
Hey.
Your fragile little mortal soul has only just begun its unavoidable ticking clock. Your name is essentially your shield. It is the most symbolic representation of your inner self that can exist. It carries great, great power over you. Never forget this.
Okay. All right. So don't give your name, because your name is very powerful.
Which is why...
a lot of power over you.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Are we Rumpelstiltskin? I think I figured this out.
So this is a madman's guide to not failing at abducting children?
Likely.
By the way, if you want to abduct children in style, you have to be like a Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. I would much prefer the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but okay.
Do we ever learn his name? Come to think of it, we don't know the child catcher's name, so names are power.
You may call me the child catcher. Am I a child? Do I catch things? Who's to say? Oy vey. So yeah, we've been pulled out of the muck and refuse of being born.
So right. Are they saying a vagina is a land of muck and refuse? A womb is a land of muck and refuse? That's really gross.
Now I'm picturing Star Wars. The vagina is a wretched hive of muck and refuse. But yeah,
for some reason,
never go near one, Luke.
And he didn't.
That's true. Although I've already made it perfectly clear, I'll say this again. Do not bandy about your birth name. If someone or something has access to your soul, I guarantee you won't enjoy what happens next. In every interaction you have with the supernatural, guard your name. If you must give an answer, lie through your teeth. Yeah, that'll make the supernatural thing really happy. Just lie to it.
Make it really obvious you're lying by making the big lie through your teeth gesture and go like, no, that isn't my real name.
My name is Stinky Wizzleteats.
And my super sausage cart.
There you go. Don't use anyone else's name either. How would you know? Well, unless you really hate them. But allow me to continue.
I feel like this is more of a madman's guide to dealing with fae. Because isn't it fae that deal with birth names a lot? True names?
Possibly. I don't know.
I just had a two-part episode that had to deal with knowing true names. So, I mean, it's just weird.
Just use names of people you really hate. I would have trouble picking a name.
Username?
Oh, I see.
I get it now. Username 159 has more power because we don't know username 159's real name.
Right.
Does this explain why... I might cut this from the recording, but does this explain why Mr. Creepypasta keeps addressing you as Christopher in all the goddamn...
He does? In the email.
In the past, when you were two were interacting with emails. It always came out as really, really... really pompous, just Christopher.
Well, that might be also, don't cut this out, by the way, that might be also why he goes by Mr. Creepypasta, Goldcoin, Spike, Eddie, all of which are none of his real names.
Wait a minute. That's news to me. He goes by Goldcoin?
Yeah, he's Goldcoin.
Oh, he was the dude who wrote Dogscape then? He wrote Dogscape?
What?
Because I thought Dogscape is usually credited to Goldcoin.
Isn't Dogscape like a collaborative effort?
It could be, but of course, all the credit goes to Goldcoin.
Well, that's how it goes. For anybody out there, here's a fun game for you. Look up Goldcoin and look up the places where Mr. Creepypasta and Goldcoin are talking to each other. It's the same dude. It's a fun game. Look up the places where Goldcoin is like, Mr. Creepypasta, you son of a bitch. You know?
A basic description of the supernatural. What do you think?
For anybody wondering, that we're getting back to the story.
Yeah, we're getting back to the story.
Stroke.
Not a description of Mr. Creepypasta, who is not, in fact, supernatural.
Why would you mention Mr. Creepypasta? I think all of that was cut out. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. That was kind of weird. Future David, do what you did earlier, except don't. Have you ever felt like you were being watched when you are perfectly alone? As if a pair of eyes is fixated on the back of your head. Yikes. Even yet, when you turn, there is nothing there. Well, of course you can't see a pair of eyes that's on the back of your own head. Have you unless you're looking out of them. If you
it's like some Voldemort shit going on.
Oh, shit, yeah. Have you ever heard... It's your own in the dungeon! Have you ever heard your name being spoken by nobody at all? Chances are you have experienced these things, and chances are they aren't just figments of your imagination.
Damn. So if you're sitting in your house and you hear your name spoken by nobody at all, you weren't careful enough with your name, because obviously something knows it.
This has to do with names somehow.
Bordering the lovely world you call home is another rather different place. Some call it hell. Some call it fucking cat meowing.
Did you hear a cat just now? Damn thing
no, nobody heard that. If your name is Meow, you're in deep trouble. Some call it hell, and they're not wrong. But the name isn't important. Wait a minute, I thought names were really important.
Well, does hell really want to give you its true name?
That's true. That's true. You can go straight to Gary. But the name isn't important. What comes from it is. And what happens? And what comes from hell, you ask? Why, demons, of course. Ghosts, phantoms, spirits, poltergeists, haunts and apparitions. I feel like I should be reading this like a carnival barker, but I'm not going to.
Ghosts,
these
phantoms.
Are all one and the same. Oh, good?
Ghosts, phantoms, spirits, poltergeists, haunts and apparitions, all can be found in the hell tent.
Yes. Or is it the hell tent? You don't know. We took the sign down.
Yes, you don't know what tent this actually is. That's why they pay me to stand out here. They're really weird about signs.
Meh.
Take a moment. Go ahead, sorry.
These are all one and the same, yes.
Yeah, we are going to be here forever.
Of course, of course.
Take a moment to clear your mind of that image of a red-horned beast or a classic white ghost. It's true that over time, demons have picked up on humans' fears and tend to manifest themselves in such forms. Also, can I just say, aren't ghosts, phantoms, spirits, poltergeists, haunts, and apparitions the, I don't think they come from hell. I think typically they come from the tormented spirits of those who have unfinished business in life and thus remain tied to this earthly plane until their business is finished or until such time as they extract revenge on those who killed them.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on the fact that it says these are all one and the same when, yes, those are all a variety of synonyms for the same thing.
That's
already.
True. Yeah. But I don't think I feel like ghosts and demons are different things.
Right.
I mean, yes, ghosts, phantoms, spirits, poltergeist, haunts, and apparitions are all the same thing. Technically. Just
get the idea of a classic white ghost out of your mind. Decolonize yourself.
Well, that's... Yes, you must accept only Western civilization's version of ghosts. It's true that over time, demons have picked up on humans' fears and tend to manifest themselves in such forms. However, what's actually out there is much more sinister than these ridiculous tropes. A demon is infinitely smarter than you can ever hope to be. They want nothing more than to trick your feeble mind into allowing them to cause great harm. It's your job as a practitioner to prevent this from happening. Good luck.
Ooh. Okay, so here we've got some information. This guide is for practitioners.
Okay, so are we general practitioners?
Maybe we're demon pediatricians.
Maybe we're vampire dentists.
Maybe we're satanic gynecologists interested in Mock and Meyer. I don't know.
Maybe we're Cthulian proctologists.
Oh god, Cthulian proctologists.
I don't know. You have to be really good to be a Cthulian proctologist because you have to figure out where the proctor portion is.
Well, I mean, you know, talk about the mouth of madness, am I right?
Oh. Well, that's the first thing you learn is the first thing you have to learn is which of these openings in this horrible entity from beyond is the one you want to put your hand in.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily the one that poop's coming out of. May not be. May
Ooh.
Not be.
Ah.
Anyway, this is stupid. Demons can be called into this world through a summoning. Unfortunately, this isn't very hard to do. Why would you do such a thing, you ask? Well, you shouldn't. The end.
The okay. Jira symptoms are up the wazoo in this one. Yeah.
Why would you do this? Well, but I'm not your mother. Do what you want.
Thanks,
this
Mom.
This guide. So this was written by our dad, I guess.
Well, Father's Day is coming up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Demons can give you knowledge or carry out tasks for you. If you, this is just Alexa. If you have a question you want answered, a demon can most likely help you with that. You just have to be sure it's worth the risk, and it's quite a risk.
So if you can't afford Alexa, you can just summon a demon.
That's right.
This is cheaper and more cost-effective, just infinitely more dangerous, I guess.
Yeah. Lucifer, play the Rolling Stones.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! No, I wanted you to play I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Why do you always... Oh. Okay,
exactly. Exactly.
The first lesson, the game. Everybody just lost it.
Ooh.
Every budding practitioner must learn about the game. Oh, God damn it. This is stuck in, like, old memes.
Mm.
If they ever want to get anywhere. This is the most common and basic level of advanced interaction with the supernatural world. So is that why everybody was playing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 years ago?
Or was it older than that? We're about to find out.
That was the most annoying thing, I swear.
Wait a minute. It was actually 666 years ago on this very day.
Whoa. Wow. No. It's weird that I remember it. The principle is simple. You conjure up a demon and then play with it.
fap.
You try to get the knowledge you seek while avoiding the traps being set out for you. But when you actually... We're not going there. We are not going there. But when you actually get into it, it isn't as easy as it sounds.
Preparation is key. You need protection.
Is this trying? Is this trying? Okay. Because I'm digging the fact that there's double entendres all over the place.
Yeah. By all means, grab your firearms and use those to fend off the evil spirits. You will end up killed in a horrible way. But hey, at least you tried. So this isn't, we're actually not playing Doom, Doom 2, Doom 3, Doom.
We're not knee deep in the dead.
Right. Our art technique, or I'm sorry, I don't know where the fuck that came from. Our art requires, I think it's the our art.
Our art.
I feel like a seal reading what? That.
Our art.
Yeah. Our art requires a more acquired set of tools.
Maybe your subconscious read requires... And then acquired in the same sentence, and that threw you off as well.
I don't know what's going on here.
Subconsciously.
Maybe it's the fact that we're talking about tools. I don't know.
Yeah.
More acquired set of tools. Tools that have been proved effective throughout history. I've got to say, someone must have paid a very heavy price to discover just what is effective to use. That is a very good point. How did somebody first find out that silver kills werewolves? Did they try, like, lead and mercury and,
well,
I don't know, kryptonite?
Well, it's like the guy who discovered, you know, that nitroglycerin was the tool to, you know, create dynamite.
Hmm.
Like, they probably blew up several other minerals or compounds before they figured out nitroglycerin was the way to go.
That's true.
You know, and that was and that, you know, blew up in their face many a time, literally. So he was probably just a talking
discoverer.
Head.
The discoverer of nitroglycerin. May he rest in pieces. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Should I take this next line too, since it's...
Yeah, go ahead.
Some of these will probably sound familiar, as old folklore and urban legends often have a handle in reality.
I do want to touch... Yeah. I mean, I do want to touch on real quick, though, because that does raise a question, though. Who did discover that silver was the... Or wolfsbane, or... I would hate to be the first person to realize that a vampire hates garlic, for example.
Right. Well, I mean, Wolfsbane is kind of easy because it's right in the name.
That's true. But it wouldn't have been called Wolfsbane until they realized it was effective against wolves, right? They probably
called it
Bane.
It was a happy accident. It was named after Silas Wolfsbane.
Oh, yes. Good old Silas Wolfsbane, the local apothecary.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in 3042, or BC.
Back in 3042. The future, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. BC was lost. Salt!
No.
There's certainly a lot of it this episode. An excellent general purpose demon be gone. A closed circle of this stuff will hold enough power to keep minor intrusions at bay. The same principle applies to large bodies of salt water. You'll rarely find supernatural influences around them. What about the Flying Dutchman?
Hmm.
Demons don't like the beach.
Okay.
So if you live on the beach, you don't have to worry about demons.
That's actually really cool.
I'm fine. I live by the beach.
That's why it's so expensive to live on the beach.
Ah, okay. Well, because, you know, if you're living on the beach, you've probably made a deal with the demons anyway. You're protected.
That's true.
It's ironclad.
Oh.
Speaking of
iron.
This simple element has a tendency to repel the supernatural. In most cases, it's used in candlesticks or worn on the practitioner's person. Invest in a necklace or something. You'll thank yourself later.
I do.
Turf burger. Ready to word burger.
I do know that iron, classically in mythology, is supposed to be bad for fae and fairies and stuff.
It's usually in candlesticks, so...
Which is one was used to kill Mr. Body, who was in fact a Spriggan.
That's right.
Or a brownie.
After all these years, we finally solved it.
Yep, that was the reason he was murdered. He was some sort of supernatural creature the entire time.
That's right.
It was always the candlestick. Vinegar! Vinegar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good for keeping away fleas. While this doesn't keep anything out, per se, it does have a violent effect upon beings from the other world. When thrown or sprayed, it can act as a sort of weapon against a demon. However, don't rely on it. There have been too many instances of someone attempting to save themselves with a little spray bottle of vinegar. Dear me, what a bunch. Okay.
So I think this idea of holy water has been wrong all this time. It's just that someone had accidentally used vinegar at the time. They thought it was something the priest had blessed.
Well, they probably just look at holy water and go like, hey, that doesn't hurt when you get it in your eyes. You know what hurts to get in your eyes? Vinegar.
There you go. And, you know, fleas, they are kind of the demons of the insect world.
That's true. I mean,
jumping around, drinking blood.
Fleas are dicks.
Just like the classic demon, you know, leaping around, drinking blood.
or the Jiangshi, the hopping vampire.
There you go. That's true.
They're literally hopping around drinking chi. They don't drink blood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, same thing.
Yeah, basically.
Chi translates to blood, I think.
So when you... I can't think of a good follow-up for that. Let's press on.
Candles, like in a cove. Wax candles may appear ordinary enough, but they are very important. Any seal or circle you create to trap a demon needs candles to act as a support. While the color doesn't matter too much, it's useful to note that red candles are the most effective. Blood red works the best. So it doesn't matter too much, but red is the best. Okay.
But what if you only have, like, green tea-scented candles?
What if you only have, like, plaid candles? What if you only have, like, novelty candles that smell like bacon?
Yeah, what if you only have, like, ones that look like Uncle Sam?
What if you only have a candle that's been inside of you? Anyway.
the candle was inside of you all along.
Yeah, there you go.
Mistletoe. Man. Ah, mistletoe, the classic parasitic weed that symbolizes love and merriment. Keep this handy in little bunches or piles around the area in which you work. Okay.
True. Parasitic weed that symbolizes love and merriment.
Keep it
also
around everywhere.
Killed
so
Achilles, I think.
Keep it around so you can convince attractive women and or men to kiss you.
Ooh, you are cutting out a bit. Am I cutting out?
No, you're fine.
Do I sound like a robot? Damn it, I wanted to sound like a robot.
No, you don't sound like a robot. I might.
I have no idea what you said, but maybe once transhumanism is a real thing, I could sound like a robot.
Good old transhumanism.
Gracie says no.
Gracie had to follow up with what your cat's been talking about, so she finally decided to chime in.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
And so up next we have an item of power. Yes. Why, it could even be this right here. Holds out hand. Shows everyday mundane item. Everyone has something they hold dear, and this bond holds power. It is a sort of life vest to your soul, like this small Pinkie Pie figurine that I take everywhere with me.
Pinkie will protect me.
Yes. And your soul is something you want to keep close to yourself. It could range from a picture of your mother to a knife you use to murder your mother. I mean, your first victim. Any such item will do. Hang on to something that you have a special connection. Wait. Okay, I didn't read that wrong. Thus, hang on to something that you have a special connection while practicing.
Yeah, like the towel rack I used to murder my first victim, said Jeff the Killer.
The towel rack, yeah. Oh, man.
I was about to say that the knife you used to murder your first victim and your mother, and I thought one of the same. Hey, that's Jeff. No, wait, Jeff killed his first person with a fucking towel rack.
with the towel still on it, which actually is pretty efficient to mop up the blood.
Yeah, in fact, there was no blood stains at the scene, just all in the towel. It was a really good towel.
All that's left at the scene are these red his and hers towels. But anyway.
Your voice. What a silly item, you may think. Oh, what a silly item. And you wouldn't be wrong. The human voice has no power over any supernatural entity unless you use it at just the right time. If you think you will be able to save yourself if you mess up a summoning by shouting, you're wrong. However, if the being is in a limited position of power, your voice can dismiss it. Just don't wait too long if you plan to do this. I feel like this is like, this whole thing reminds me a lot of the devil game.
Hmm.
I'm waiting for the twist at the end where we find out that Madman is the devil.
Probably.
Am
I like the idea of trying to, you know, you mess up a summoning and you just try to fix it by shouting.
You do the same thing they tell you.
You screw up and you just go, oh.
Hey, it works against bears. What do they tell you to do against bears? Raise your arms to make yourself bigger and scream at it?
I think that's, isn't that like mountain lions?
I think it works in both cases, or so they claim.
I think with bears you're supposed to play dead. I don't know.
I think with bears, you're supposed to walk up and give them a hug because they're all basically blue.
That's true. I think that with bears, I think you could just ride them. I don't know.
I think yeah. You know, if Breath of the Wild has taught me anything, if you try hard enough, you can eventually ride bears.
Hmm. There you go. That's our lesson for this episode. Go out there, kids, and try to ride a bear. Hashtag yep. Ride the bear.
Go ride that bear. Don't actually do anything we tell you to do on this podcast. I believe that you're on the next paragraph, my dude.
Don't do anything you hear on this podcast. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, visit us on Patreon.
really don't do that.
At the moment, these seven things are enough. I don't want to go back and count. I'll assume it was seven.
Yeah.
These seven things are enough to keep you safe, relatively speaking. It's time to get into the fun stuff. The first step of the game is to decide what exactly you want from the experience. Do you want to know some greater knowledge? Perhaps you would like to know if your significant other is being disloyal. You could probably tell that on your own. What's this condom hanging out of your ass? I don't know.
What the fuck?
there are subtle clues, is what I'm
very
saying.
Very subtle. Why are you looking so closely at my ass, you weirdo?
Or how to earn $1 million by the year's end. Whatever it is, know what you want so you don't make a fool of yourself and die. I guess you'd die if you don't know what you want.
I'm going to do this. What do you want? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Ah!
Zap!
Off the bridge of death.
Oh, no, wait. I messed up the summoning. Oh.
I don't know if you've ever played Spyro the Dragon, but I think it's Spyro 2, but I think of those monks who go like,
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Now, you can't interact with the other world at any pool place. I wouldn't recommend using your home in any capacity unless you want to ruin the rest of your life.
True.
It'll really bring down the property value. You'll never be able to, like, go escrow on anything again. No, it's much more effective to find a place where the wall between this world and the next is worn thin. Places with some sacred value, like religious buildings or hospitals. People die in hospitals, you see. No.
And in religious buildings.
No. And this constant crossing from one world to the next makes it perfect for any summoning you'd want to do. Because, you know, when people get sick, they frequently go to religious buildings.
Yeah.
And when people... and
well, I mean,
there.
Scientology, you know.
Tonight on American Cults.
Wherever you choose to practice, make sure you are alone. It won't do anyone any good to walk into a demon summoning, and it may stuff up your process. Not good. So make sure you're alone in that people don't barge in, but I mean, could you take a friend, you know, could you like plan to take somebody else?
What if you've got a sort of a ritual buddy?
Yeah. Does everybody have their summoning buddy? Hold hands.
We're all going to go into different rooms and do this now. This is our designated summoning space. This is like a program. This is like an Al-Anon for demon summoners.
And remember, if you come back without your summoning buddy, you don't get any fruit cup. Yeah. All right. Not good. Not good. I also recommend against bringing any electronics into a summoning. Not that it's dangerous or anything, but because any device will most likely be fried by the presence of a demon.
Not my iPhone 10.
smartphones are extremely expensive these days. Don't just throw yours away. True.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the classic trope, which I think works for this. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Mm. We have the classic trope of missing the point entirely. Like, you know, don't bring your smartphone to the demon summoning because it's expensive. You know, like in the, when the real thing would be, don't go to a demon summoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, our author is calling themselves the Madman, so,
right?
Which I presume means they are male. But I'm still not entirely convinced that this person is not, in fact, a baby.
That could be.
And therefore not a man at all.
That could be. I'm just a crazy baby. Plot twist.
Is this like the dark version of Boss Baby?
Maybe.
I am the boss of your soul. Now you've got your protection, always use protection, and location set. It's time to summon a demon. Before we go on, I'm obliged to tell you to stop right here. Don't go on. It isn't a very smart thing to do. But once again, I really couldn't care less. Shall we proceed? This really does read like the Devil Game.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I actually never read that, but...
But you could listen to the Midnight Marinera version of the Devil Game, hey, starring Nick Jewell as the devil. Spoilers. He was the devil. Spoilers. Nick Jewell is always the devil.
Damn. And spoilers, he snaps his fingers and Spider-Man dies. Anyway.
But not Spider-Man.
That's true. Boy, that would be interesting if you did a Midnight Marinera Infinity War crossover.
Oh, my God.
Snap your fingers and half the memes disappear.
Snap your fingers and steal a video about there Infinity
you.
War.
Snap your fingers and steal a video. Okay, well, yeah, that works too.
That's topical. I'll let you all figure that one out.
It's topical.
Yeah.
It's no, that's good. It's as topical as the ointment old man Murphy rubs on his balls. Begin with a salt circle. Begin with a salt circle. Don't make a square or hexagon or anything stupid like that. Okay. No parallelograms, I guess. Circles are equal no matter where you are inside of one. It's always wait, that's not true.
It's
if you're to the edge
not
of it.
All it's circles not are created equal. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's what makes them powerful. Lay out 5 to 7 candles around the outside of the circle. Do not put them inside the circle. This is a one-way ticket to disaster.
Demons are very, very picky about your decor when they show up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make
I
a
guess
good.
What would happen? Oh, go ahead.
You want to make a good impression when you talk to them if you're going to land that job in hell.
I'm just picturing like you summon the demon, but you've put the candles on the wrong side. So he's like, now I can go everywhere but the circle. And you're like, yes, and I've put this bag of delicious potato chips in the circle. And it's like, oh, no.
Thank you very much. Hilarious. Demon. Turns out demons really love potato chips.
Yeah, but I mean, he can go everywhere but the circle. So now it's like, no Lay's honey barbecue for you, demon.
Ah, shit.
And like, comedic music plays, you know.
That's the only reason came out of hell was for those chips. They don't have those in hell.
I think did we just write a commercial for Lay's potato chips?
I think we did. If they can get Dave Grohl to play the devil again, though, I thought it'll be even better. You know, like in Tenacious D.
Hey, Dave Grohl here as the devil for Lay's potato chips. Like, why?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dave Grohl. Okay. I love metal. I also love these potato chips. I don't know if that's how Dave Grohl actually sounds. Well, never mind. Prepare.
Dave Grohl there? But yeah.
Prepare any other protective measures you have brought. Place mistletoe in little piles next to the candles and prepare some iron and vinegar just in case. Keep your items of power close. I'm now going to tell you a little story about someone carrying out their very first summoning. I want you to pay close attention.
All right.
So now we get into the narrative part.
Let me read the next paragraph here.
Okay.
Yo, listen up. Here's a story about a little guy who summoned the hell world and all day and all night. Anyway. Not too long ago, a young girl wanted commune with the other world. She was rather rebellious, so she chose to practice in the church she attended every week. She broke in at night, set up her circle, and began the game. This is how she did it.
This is how she did it.
Oh, yeah. Ba-da-da-da-da.
The girl
said... So this is Kayla, right?
I mean, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So
this is how she
I
brought the
everyone...
pasta shade to real life.
This is how she got hired at Midnight Marinera. The girl sat outside her salt circle. She put down her object of power in front of her and closed her eyes. The dark church was cold and silent. Creaks and groans permeated the blackness all around her. She took a deep breath and whispered, "Hey, can you keep it down?" "I'm ready."
She whispered it.
She whispered that. She had a weird problem with opposites. When she was told to whisper, she screamed at the top of her lungs.
That's right.
"I'm ready," three times. As soon as she did so, a host of new noises came. Frightening noises. Moans and cackles. Squelches and shrieks. They were accompanied with sensations as well. As if there was a host of malevolent eyes on the back of her head, of her neck. God, that's creepy. They all just sprouted. And something was breathing heavily just behind her. But the girl was prepared for this. She did not turn around. Don't turn around.
I tell you what, there was all this moaning, cackling, squelching, and shrieking. It was just like voice chat on Overwatch. Am I right, gamers? Am I right, gamers out there?
You really stepped in it, mate.
Exactly. One of the voices said, "Get on the payload, you fucking idiot." Oh, she's a girl. She must be a mercy main, said the voice.
Diva! Right. Oh, you're the worst diva I've ever seen.
What kind of ult was that? Apparently,
do
Kermit
it right or stop playing. Pick up a wheel hero. Okay, I'll go play Junkrat then.
Yeah, that's true. Kermit the Frog boosting Miss Piggy in Overwatch.
learn how to play.
Fucking hell.
Piggy's ultimate would just karate chop everyone. She's like, it's like Genji's, but.
Of course I'm going to catch the wild Lucio. Yeah. At this stage, fucking hell. How long is this? How long is this thing? At this stage, the girl had merely gotten the demon's attention. There was still more to be done before the game could be played. "Stand back," she whispered. Immediately, the noises died down. There was silence in the church once again. However, she could feel that evil gaze burning into her neck. She ignored this and continued. I do like the idea that within the guide, we were actually getting a creepypasta story now.
Yeah, I actually do like that, too. Here's the thing. I should stop. We've had a lot of... Now, listen, everybody. We've had a lot of fun with the banter in this episode. But let's take a moment and evaluate the story. Actually, this one's fine. I don't really have any problems with it, to be honest. I keep comparing it to the Devil game, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, it's all right. I do like, and you're right, I like this element as well, that we're kind of getting a story within a story, or a story right. within a framework, and it's like we're
And then reading... it'll be, at some point it'll be, and this is the documentation that the SCP Foundation wrote about.
By the way, and the girl reveals and starts reading the documentation she found, and in that there will be a man who says, "I met a traveler once who," and then it'll just keep going.
There you go.
Her next step was to invite the demon into her circle. Be very, very careful with this step. If you invite the demon past the circle and into your world, the demon will appear to leave. There will be no more...
See, here's the problem. Young girls out on the town at night, don't invite a random demon into your circle, you know what I'm saying? Come on now.
I mean, that's just predatory behavior needs to be avoided regardless of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Demons understand that if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. So
that's right.
Consent is important. There will be no more noises or unseen eyes. So all I'm saying is just be really, really sure you want to invite the demon in before you do anything.
Right.
After a while, you will invariably look around to see what is happening. That is when you will be dealt with any manner the demon sees fit. There is no way to avoid this fate if you invite the demon outside the circle. Calmly, the girl addressed the demon. "You may come into my salt circle," she said.
Uh-oh.
Note that her wording left no room for interpretation. The game was ready to be played.
Well, I have a feeling that this is going to go downhill fast.
Yep.
"Who are you?" the girl asked. "It is a good idea to start the game... Wait. It's a good idea to start the game first." Asking any basic question will do. Shall I just continue?
Sure, why not?
"I am your final executioner," the demon replied. Demons often enjoy a bit of melodrama. This doesn't mean their words don't hold true, however. Okay.
Go ahead.
You may go. You may continue.
Thank you. Do you want to play? The girl asked. The demon nodded once. "It's now that I should tell you about the appearance of demons. If you're expecting some disgusting creature, you may be correct." Okay. It all depends on which demon you summon. Some may look like attractive young models, and others may exemplify the term hellbeast. In the girl's case, an impossibly tall and thin creature sat in her circle. It had pale skin and enormous eyes. Its mouth stretched from ear to ear, grinning with red-stained fangs.
This girl was a big fan of the usual creepypastas.
Yep.
Tall, thin guy with a wide grin, and he was like, "You go to sleep." And she said, "You go to sleep." And he said, "I'm the rake." And then they went to a mansion, and then...
And then there they looked at JPEG's Smile Dog and said, "Aw, how cute.
It's a doggo.
It's a puppy.
It's a good boy."
Oh, yeah. Man.
"What is your name?" the demon asked. The girl didn't fall for it. "I'm Peaches," she lied.
Princess Peaches is my favorite Mario character.
They said don't use someone else's name, though. Now the singer is going to have something bad happen to her.
"I'm Princess Peaches, and my boyfriend is Mario."
Mario. Is that just like sick Mario, or
it's Mario as interpreted by Vinny from Vine Sauce? He's look, it's the Mario.
I see. "I'm Peaches," she lied. It was her turn. "What is the time?" she asked.
"It's about 2:30," the demon replied. This was a lie. The girl. I'm gonna read the demon in a Cockney accent just because I can.
Okay.
"This was a lie," the girl knew. She had arrived at the church at 1:00 in the morning, and it hadn't been more than 20 minutes. This is the foremost rule of the game. The demon will lie to you. However, it may lie 3 times. It's all up to you to figure out which responses are lies, and they won't always be so easy to determine. Man, this demon is really bad at this game.
Damn right. Now here's the thing. She asked, "Who are you?" She asked, "Do you want to play?" I mean, this, you know, how do we know whether we're on the third lie or not? Maybe he's not our final executioner. Maybe he didn't want to play.
That's true.
This girl fucked up. She fucked up.
Oh, wait, that's true. I'm waiting for that to happen.
All right, so the game is a matter of call and response. You may ask the demon a question, and it asks you one in return. This will go on for exactly 30 minutes. Because the demon's got shit to do. He's like looking at his watch the entire time. After this time has elapsed, the demon will leave. You just have to last that long. I guess I'll take this.
Yeah, go for it.
"Are you doing well in school?" the demon asked the girl innocently. "Yes," the girl replied. But the truth of the matter that she was... Yes, replied the girl, "but the truth of the matter that she was lying to herself."
That's a typo.
Okay.
That's an error.
I'm just trying to figure out what's supposed to be there. "She was struggling in school, but her ego kept her from saying so." You may lie to... Oh, so she lied, but she didn't mean to. "You may lie to a demon, but there are consequences."
The consequences are your ego gets bruised.
That's right.
The girl was able to...
The demon conjured her report card. "Look at it," he said. "Look at it.
Oh, look, your parents won't put this on the refrigerator at home." The girl was able to lie about her name because she was expected to. The demon didn't actually believe she would be foolish enough to give that information up. You ever wonder if a demon just, like, comes up, you know, gets summoned by someone really simple, and they introduce themselves, and they're like, "Hi, I'm Gregory Munson." And he's just like, "Oh, thank you, Gregory," and it just eats his soul.
There you go. Or either that, or it's like, you know, the demon appears and it's like, "Man, I've got this gift card from Applebee's. What name do I put on here?" Oh,
you'd be a smart ass and you could show up and be like, "Who are you?" And like, "I'm John McClane." Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
There you go.
I bet the demon would appreciate that, because the demons are huge fans of Die Hard.
Now, couldn't the demon just go to like some official office and have your name legally changed, like forge some documents?
I mean...
Then you would be what name you gave.
That's so true. Although, I think they made it clear that it was a birth name that was important. So whatever name was given to you at birth.
Even if you
legally changed it, your birth name is still attached to you, and therefore...
There you go, that's true.
Which is really tricky, because, like, you know, maybe you don't like your birth name very much. I mean, like, maybe you're someone who's decided you want to make a fresh start, you know?
What if that you just like catch the demon at night sneaking into your house and like whiting out the name on your birth certificate? You're like, "Demon."
Demon. Oh, he just kind of shrugs. Oh, you well, got me, demon. You yeah. saucy little. I can't put anything past you, can I?
All right, so I forget where we are now.
Oh, I was about to say.
We might as well start over.
Foolish enough to give that information up. That's right. He was simply testing the waters, but this lie was different. Lying during the game allows the demon to do the same. Now the demon had four chances to tell him his truth. You fucked up!
Uh-huh. Does anybody love me? The girl asked. The demon looked at her with those massive, malevolent eyes. No, it said simply. This was surely a lie, the girl thought. Her parents loved her at the very least. Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Parents are like, oh my god, she's back. She's on that fucking mobile phone again. What is she doing? What is a Candy Crush?
How much you want to bet her parents gave her this guide and said, here, here, sweetie.
Yeah. Here you go, Peaches. She paused in her thoughts. Or did they? You see, this is exactly what a demon will do to you. It will mess with your mind in ways that you have no defense against. The girl shook this answer off. It was the demon's turn.
Would you do something for me? It asked. The girl had a moment of hesitation. She didn't want to risk anything, but she also hadn't gotten all the information she wanted.
I would say you could probably do that.
You could, you could. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, she said quickly, confident she could counter any trick the demon played on her. It was a rather foolish mistake. The demon stood, rising to a terrifying height of 9 feet. It leered down at her.
It leaned on her head with its elbow. Thank you for being my elbow rest.
That was really all I wanted.
I just wanted a place to put my elbow, you say?
Yeah, I wanted to put my elbow down on your head.
Never mind the boils on it, you know, the leaking boils all in your hair, yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get those checked out later. Because she starts whimpering, and he's like, oh, no, it's fine. I already talked to my physician. He says it's just a chronic thing. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Let's see. Your turn, your turn, the demon said, smiling wider than the girl would have guessed possible. Impossibly wide grins, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Do you want an impossibly wide grin? Try new creepypasta toothpaste. We'll give you an impossibly wide grin.
Dun, 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 dun. It's called a natural Glasgow smile, dear.
Yeah, it may cause slight eye bleeding, but how do achieve success in life?
How do
achieve success in life? The girl had nothing to toy with anymore. She desperately got to the point. So wait, her question that she summoned a demon for was how to succeed in life. You could just ask Tony Robinson that.
How to succeed at business without really trying. Summon a demon. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Press on. You can do
it. The demon answered truthfully. He told her exact steps on how to climb the ladder of success in her life and thrive. But at this point, he was just playing with her. He had complete control. Well, why can't the author tell us?
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. You know what he said? He probably just said, you know, get on Twitch and wear a low-cut top.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it works. It works.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. I mean.
And the demon would tell you that, you know?
A demon would, because a demon's all like, I'm just going to be real with you here, unfortunately. I'm all for, you know, pushing for more gender and, you know, like, equality and everything. But that's just the way of the world, dear.
It's two steps, you see. Two steps. Register a channel, wear low-cut top. That's all you got to do. Very simple.
Even simpler,
start a YouTube channel. Read other people's stories.
And there you go. You don't even have to wear the low-cut top. There's not a lot of ladies reading the creepypastas out there.
That's right.
You can find a niche there, and if you have a spooky enough voice, you can manage it.
And you don't even need the spooky voice. I'm saying you could literally now sound like Leonard from The Big Bang Theory, and you could still be very successful.
Yes. Just as long as you're female. That's the way it's going to work. By the way, I'm a Cockney, have you noticed? Cockney. I'm from South London. Oh.
So yeah, what was it? He had complete control, I think.
Yeah,
that was...
complete control. You want me? Phew. Should I take the next bit?
Then? Yeah, why don't you take the rest of the story?
Okay. You could just be running commentary then. Come here, the demon told the girl. The girl began to scoff. How ridiculous to think she'd actually break her guard and step inside the circle. But she stood against her will. Her heart dropped to her toes as she stepped towards the salt circle. The demon smiled. No amount of vinegar or iron could have prevented what happened to the girl next. For your sake, I won't get into it. All you have to know is it was quite horrible. Aw, come on. I want to know.
He took control of her body, made her step forward, and had her dab for eternity. Just dabbing over and over.
Yep. Now every way you go for the rest of your life, nothing but dabbing. Dab here, dab there, dab everywhere.
I'm just picturing like this story going into detail like that and saying, you know, I won't tell you what happened. It was very horrible. Well, if you insist on knowing. Okay, have you ever seen those dances from Fortnite?
We're both being, hey, Caleb, would it be horrible to dab for all eternity?
No, yeah, actually, it would be terrible. Mm. I'd never want to do that.
Fair enough.
Because that would hurt your neck after a while and your arms.
Perfect.
It's exercise, therefore it's awful.
Yeah.
And then once an eternity has passed, you can start doing the Macarena.
My dance
died too quickly.
Come with me and do the Macarena? That's how it goes, right?
We're in the dance that's called the Macarena. If you like macaroons, you can do the Macarena.
Hey, Macarena.
The girl had given the demon power over her. The one thing you must never do. The one thing. She had said she would grant the demon a favor, and he had capitalized on her offer. He had asked her to come into the circle. She had no choice but to obey.
See, here's the thing.
I go to bloody tattoo.
Here's the thing. The one thing you should never do is give a demon power over you. You can do anything else with them. You know, you could put your head in their mouth like an alligator wrestler. You could do anything else, but never give them power over you. You could have it co-sign your mortgage. You could do whatever. Doesn't matter.
There's just a lot. There's a lot. I mean, there's never work with demons, kids. Kayla got a tattoo.
I got a bloody tattoo.
Is it still bloody?
Yeah, it's still bloody.
Huzzah!
Yay!
Yeah, what happened for everybody listening? What happened is Kayla got a new tattoo. She updated her privacy policy, so she needs to have it amended.
Slimy says you updated your privacy policy. That's what happened.
Yeah. That's
hey,
true.
Hey, Kayla. When we're done with this one, would you like to do a different story with us?
No.
No?
Sounds awful.
Okay. She said that sounds awful.
But you know her true name.
I do.
Be tortured by bad stories? Why do you do this to me?
We could read a good story.
Lies!
Well, I'm liking the one we're reading right now.
It's never good.
Okay.
By the way, Kayla's real birth name is Sharonda Burkus.
Why did you have to say that on the podcast?
Well, now everybody has the power to make her do
to dab
stories.
For eternity?
Yeah, oh, to dab for eternity.
While reading stories. Okay, that's cool. I'll evoke her true name later.
Dabbing while reading stories. Every other word is muffled. Let's
Yeah, go ahead. Let's polish this off.
Let's learn from this girl's mistakes, shall we? Never give a demon an advantage, and always choose your words very carefully. Be honest with yourself, even if it hurts you to do so. The demon seeks to harm you, and if that's the worst it can do, then you have played the game correctly.
You have all lost the game.
By the way, if you you can't lie to the demon, I think was the rule. You're not allowed to lie. So, when he asks you to do him a favor, what would the correct answer be?
You just
would say no, right?
You could say no, thank you.
But I mean, like, the only rule is you can't lie. So if you say no, that's not a lie. So I mean, why the hell would you say yes? It's weird.
That is weird. I'm curious if there's a way we can work around it.
It's almost like she just wanted to see if she could get away with it.
Yeah, that's
I'm gonna lie and say yes.
Good point.
I don't know.
It is now that I have a little task for you, my reader. At this point, you should have a basic grasp of the supernatural world and how to deal with its infinite dangers. Would you like to put your skills to the test? Find a mirror. It could be a large or small, round or square, it does not matter. Wait till the deepest hours of the night. Go out to a quiet place with the mirror. Let yourself be surrounded by the darkness. Observe the shadows, reaching slowly towards you. Do not dare to be afraid. I want you to place the mirror on the ground, so that it reflects the moon and stars. If the moon or stars aren't showing, then just reflect the sky. If there is no sky, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Look into the reflection deeply. Soon you'll notice something off about the image. You're looking at another world. Don't touch the mirror. Whatever you do, do not touch the mirror. I have to clean it. It'll take forever to get those finger smudges off.
See, I would love if they had a description of what would happen, where it's like, don't touch the mirror, and it could be something like you'll be sucked into it, or it could just be something like, you know, you'll get like a blister on your finger.
Yeah, it could be something really minor like that.
Yeah, it'll be gross.
Yeah.
You'll get a paper cut. Don't ask me how. The image will have a sort of shimmer to it, an unnatural gleam. While this is apparent, you must remain still. Eventually, the mirror will return to normal. It'll clearly reflect the sky again. And the sky writer going by, writing, what the fuck are you doing? Why would you do this? Once this happens, bury the mirror. After...
Okay.
Okay, sure.
I mean, I've heard of bury the lead, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, damn it. After it is underground, say these words. You may open the door. Then go home. Your task is done. It's time for the next lesson.
So what did that actually accomplish?
I don't know.
Oh, wait. Oh, this is the madman wants you to do this.
The madman wants you to let him out.
I bet that's part of it. I bet you that's what he's doing. Let me out of here.
You know, the end of this story is probably going to be something like, guess what? That's not how you summon a demon. It's actually how you release a fish man from the Innsmouth, you know, alternate reality. And that's me, and
yep,
I'm here.
That's
now.
Me, Fishman Charlie from Innsmouth. How you doing? Yeah, I'm a used car salesman, but I sell water cars for the fishmen.
Hey, Fishman Charlie here. Actually, I guess it would be Charlie Fishman, maybe?
Charlie Fishman here. No, believe it or not, that was actually my last name. It was actually my last name before I turned into a hideous fish person.
Charlie Fishman here for Fishman's Aqua Automotive Suppliers. Do you want a new or used Aquamobile? I guess we got those. I don't know.
Yeah, I was so glad that I tell you, when my pa, Amos Fishman, invested in these a while ago, everybody thought he was cuckoo. But then, of course, you know, Relea came up and we all turned into fishmen. As Dagon came up and we all turned into fishmen. And look at that. No one's laughing at my pa's business now.
So you say you're still human. You say you're still human and you breathe air. Well, guess what? Climate change. It's coming. Sea levels are rising. Bet you didn't think I'd bring science up into this bitch.
Yeah. Well, investments are good now because you've seen those sad pictures of polar bears on the internet.
Speaking of polar bears, if you buy a car now, you get a free roasted polar bear leg. Mm-mm, delicious.
It's anyway. all the rage down here in Innsmouth. And you don't believe me, you can hear some glowing endorsements from our friends over in Arkham. Anyway.
I say that the entire next hour of this podcast is just us going back and forth doing a Charlie Fishman commercial. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that everybody would love that.
Yeah. To be completely honest, I'm not really feeling the story. Not really, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Now, Charlie Fishman, there is an icon for a generation. That's totally not going to die with the end of this episode.
No,
that's
going to
live on forever.
It's going to persist endlessly, like so many other memes that have come up on Undercooked Analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
The second lesson, the go and fetch clause. Go and fetch me Santa Claus. Despite the title...
It's funny because I guess you cut out there. It sounded like you said, go and fetch me Sanic. And I'm like, okay, I'm down with that.
Despite the title of this lesson, demons are not dogs. Aww. Although they may appear as dogs, hairless, skinless, grinning dogs that eye you with the intensity of, well, a hungry wolf. But that's besides the point. The game won't always give you what you want. Sometimes the demons simply won't know the answer to the question you want answered. If you summon a demon to just say, can I have a puppy? Is that...
How could it not know the answer to the question if they're infinitely smarter than us? I guess you could... I mean, if you want to trick it with an unanswerable question, you could do that, but why go through the trouble of summoning it then?
That's an eminently good... Hey, demon, why should I go through the trouble of summoning you?
It's just rude.
It really is. You're pulling them away from their, like, important hell business to come and see you to play this nonsense game. This is...
You summon a demon... And he appears in front of you, and he's wearing, like, a sports jersey, and he has a little pennant for a little league team. And as you summon him, he says, go, Jimmy, go! You can do it! Oh, damn it!
Damn it!
Was that my son's thing? Anyway.
That's good.
Alright, so I'm at if you want.
Yeah, if you want.
If you want a different type of knowledge, something that's currently happening, for example, you'll want to use you'd want to use Google, actually. You'd want to use the go and fetch clause. This is quite literally a command you give that lets the demon venture out into the world and go and find what you're looking for. What can go wrong? Ba-dum-bump. A go and fetch clause has three parts: the instruction, the binding, and the sending. Each is as important as the other. I think what's getting to me about this is that it's pretty much instructions for anything.
Yeah, if you want to know something,
go and find it. Here's how to find it. Like,
if you lost your A, look around and find it.
I mean, this is like we made the joke before about it being like Alexa. Now we're getting into, like I said, Google.
Yeah.
If you want to know something that's currently happening, send a demon. No, just type it in.
Well, this was written in 2016. Therefore, none of this actually existed.
This is written in 2016, before Google existed.
2016
so, you know.
BC.
Yeah.
There
you go.
So go and fetch clause is three parts: the instruction, the binding, and the sending. Each isn't as important as the other.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, should I keep going?
Well, that was what I just read. So.
Oh, that's right.
How dare you?
I'm.
How dare you, sir?
Wait.
How dare you?
That's right. That was broken up into instruction.
You know what? I retract my permission to record this.
All right. Good night, everyone. Okay, so we just came back after...
This podcast is part of the Creative Horror Network, creativehorror.com.
Creativehorror.com. Hey, we're back. I just spent the last 3 hours negotiating with Slimy, and I think we're going to be okay.
No, we're not. Show's over.
God
the end.
God damn it. Instruction.
Listen to Snow Boys, the show about Faux Boys. The show about Faux Boys. The show about...
The show about Clo Boys. The show about... Oh, boys.
The show that hires Ho Boys. The show...
The show that hires no boys, only girls.
Yeah, there you go.
Instruction.
The show about low boys.
They have to be under tables when they record, the low boys. Instruction.
Under table analysis.
Here is where you tell your furry demon friend what if it's a lizard? Here's where you tell your furry demon friend what it has to do. I'm warning you now, prepare your speech beforehand. If you leave any loophole, it will be pounced on. Don't make stupid mistakes.
Like summoning a demon.
Yeah. This all just seems like a really eminently bad idea.
If it's a lizard, it won't be furry. It'll have feathers.
Fucking Amazon exists. You don't need demons if you want to buy something from Amazon.
If you want a large pack of 2-ply toilet paper shipped free to your home, you must summon a demon.
I want to pre-order. Well, unless you... Okay, I guarantee you, Amazon already is a demon. So you can go to Amazon and be... I want a copy of Hook, but starring Christopher Walken instead of Dustin Hoffman as Captain Hook.
I guess you'll get it. Who would be Peter Pan? You could have The Rock. That'd be good.
Chris Rock.
Anyway, an example is in order here. Oh, we're gonna get an example. Maybe another story
another
within a story.
Example?
I don't know. Maybe not. An example is in order here. If you tell a demon to go tell me what my friend is doing, you have just made a very large mistake. Why? You were so ambiguous that the demon could leave its circle, hang you by your ankles, grab an ice cream, and then spy on your friend. Okay?
That's a very gentle way.
It eats the ice cream in front of you, though. Then it will return and tell you what your friend is doing while licking its chocolate cone. All of this sounds very dirty. You will then be disposed of gruesomely.
You know, all these instructions work just as well if you have a magic lamp. Like, you might as well try this. What to do if you find a magic lamp and summon a genie?
Right.
When you think about it, the whole idea with genies is genies always try to find loopholes with the things you wish for, right?
Right.
So you have to be very, very specific. Like, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but like, if you've, and this is for anybody out there listening too, have you ever just idly thought, if I ever happened in my life to find a genie and was offered three wishes, or even just one wish, how would you word it to get the most out of your wish? Have you ever like thought about the careful wording you would make?
Yeah,
to do that?
I mean, I have the solution to that.
What's that?
Yeah. I mean, like, they always have the thing where they always put the stipulation where it says you can't wish for infinite wishes, right?
Right.
And people have come up with, well, then I wish for infinite genies. Now, I take
really
that a step further.
Do you really want infinite genies?
Yeah, that's the thing. You'd be buried in a bunch of lamps and shit.
Yeah.
I think I have the foolproof plan, which is every third wish you make, you wish the genie back into the lamp. And then you just rub it again, let him out.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you wish him back into the lamp, you let him out again, get two wishes, and then on the third you wish him back in again. You know, et cetera and so forth. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe there's some stipulation against that, but that's my solution.
Another alternative could be, on your third wish, you say, you could say, I wish for you to return to your home plane. However, in the process, you bring another genie here and bind it to this lamp.
And, you know, theoretically, you could always just make a wish where you say, I wish that I got anything I wished for.
I wish that anytime I made a wish in the future, it would come true in exactly the way I mentally perceive it.
Yeah, exactly.
There are ways around this.
I mean, that's not so much wishing. It's not so much wishing for infinite wishes as it is wishing for a superpower.
Yeah, I wish for the ability to grant my own wishes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just the perfect thing. Or, you know, failing all of that, if people say that all of that can't be done, you know, because people always make that stipulation like, no, what if it says you can't? Then, you know, just make the wish where you say, I wish that I, you know, would get everything I need to be happy and healthy. That's it.
Right, right.
You can never be hit by a car because you wouldn't be happy and healthy.
Yep.
You can
I
never
wish to forever remain happy and
healthy. Yeah.
There you go. And then the loophole is you live forever and you can't die.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, if you just say, I wish to live a happy and healthy life, you know. You know, it would say people would say, well, what if you die early? And it's like, well, then you wouldn't be happy and healthy.
That is a pretty good one. And then that's the other thing is that's not abusing anybody else, because some people will do really selfish things like, oh, you know, I wish for the most attractive woman in the world to fall incredibly in love with me or something like that, you know. And then but then that's taking away someone's agency.
Right, and then Mila Jovovich is like, I have movies to make. What are you doing?
Plus, but, again, that's super subjective, too.
Yeah.
Like the demon slash genie would be like, okay, I'm going to I have a perception of what the most attractive woman in the world goes. And because the demon slash genie is over thousands of years old, probably gets a really old-timey example of someone and drops them into your lap.
This person is the most beautiful on the inside.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But then if that's true, then you'd probably end up happy anyway, unless you're a horrible person.
Right.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, let's face it. Most people are horrible people.
That is, yeah.
I think, you know, wishing for being happy and healthy is fine, because you could just say, you know, you just would have a day where you wake up and you go, you know, I'm not really happy with this. And, you know, everything would change around what you need, what you want.
Man, I'm just having kind of an off day.
Anyway.
And suddenly you're not having an off day anymore. I like that.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I thought being the CEO of Disney would be fun. It ran its course. I'm not really happy with it anymore. Boom, you're fired. Oh, okay, cool. I'll go on to something else now.
Yeah.
But
ultimately, things just work out for the best.
So I don't know where we are here.
Okay, yeah, I remember. Be sure to allow, like, this is just basically expanding on what we were saying. Be sure to outline every step of the demon's journey into the world, lest it strays and ends up possessing some poor child. Unless, of course, that's your goal. But that's for another lesson. Binding. I think this is another paragraph, but, this is another paragraph, so. This is the step in which you bind the demon to your instruction. This is very simple. Use your voice. Act quickly, as the longer the demon is in the world, the less power your voice has.
I think that the demon is messing with our call. You could make yourself look like an idiot and babble in Latin or something, but any language works fine. Well, that's rude.
Can you use very rude
language?
Took
Latin in school. You studied Latin, you're an idiot. There you go, it says right in the story.
Well, you know, Latin's a dead language. Well, now we know why.
Chances are the demon's knowledge of ancient language is a bit rusty, and it will appreciate you using a more up-to-date tongue. Binding can be as simple as, follow my instructions to the letter. But it depends on your instructions. once again, don't leave a loophole. So, in other words, you'd want to say something like, don't do anything I don't want you to do. Boom.
Perfect. Yeah. That's always those. If there's clauses and subclauses in there, just find the the simplest solution is sometimes the most elegant.
Don't be a dick. There you go.
Hey. Hey, renounce your evildom and become a good person.
Yeah.
And hang out with me and be my best friend. And then the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy starts.
There you go.
Sending. Time to say au revoir to your temporary servant and pray that you didn't mess anything up. You won't know if you did, of course. Enjoy the wait.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's another story within a story.
Oh, fuck. How long is this? Let me just check here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is a long story. Okay.
It sure is. Do we want to take a break and maybe split this into two parts?
Let's split this into two parts. I don't know. How long has this been? Maybe, is it long enough?
It's been at least an hour.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. So, yeah, let's split this into two parts.
Okay.
When we
pick it up next time, we'll be making our way through the example of the second lesson.
Yeah.
All right.
So what do we do? Do we do like a off the cuff outro?
That's usually what we do. Is there anything you wanna? Well, first of all, thanks for joining me again, Slimy. It's been a while, and it's been fun. It's a good time.
Well, I mean, you summoned me, so what am I supposed to do? I'm in this circle.
Well, I do know your true name only because Mr. Creepypasta would not stop repeating it in those emails, and you showed those off to the world. So. But is there anything you wanna plug while you're here to all of our grand listener, all of our listener types?
I think most people, and the call is cutting out a little bit, so I apologize if I've talked over you.
No, it's fine. It's not cutting for me, but it's cutting for you. So the recording should still be fine. But
yeah, every so often I start talking because there's like a pause, and then as I'm talking, I hear. Because there's very relatable, and I'm like, well, oh, shit, sorry, you were talking. But, yeah, I think everybody probably that listens to this is most likely aware of what I've been getting into lately. I don't know, but just check out slimebeast.com, and you'll find everything you want to see there. But, yeah.
What about Camp Cadaver?
Well, that's linked on slimebeast.com.
Oh, that's true.
Camp Cadaver is an online game that I've made. It's a browser-based game. You are a good guy or a bad guy. Each round is different. You might be a serial killer. You might be a hapless victim. You know, so you got to try to figure out who the bad guys are and vote them out of the game. But yeah, sort of like a mafia werewolf party game type thing.
So, but yeah, with a
campcadaver.com.
But with a tone kind of like is it Dead by Daylight that I'm thinking of?
It's sort of like like 80s, you know, slasher movies type things. It takes place at a camp, of course, because Camp Cadaver. But
Abysme did the music for the game. Did original music for
Abysme
it.
Abysme did the music.
So there's that fellow creative horror host Abysme.
Abysme also play tested the game by himself for 5 months straight. Locked in a basement. And yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. I could see it. But yeah. Excellent.
So that's that.
Awesome.
And do you have anything you want to plug? Do you have a YouTube channel that you want to plug?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do have creativehorror.com as usual if you want to check out what I'm doing. Hey, Midnight Marinara got a couple episodes out. Those are good. If you listen to this show and you don't listen to Midnight Marinara, I might be a little surprised because if it weren't for Midnight Marinara, Undercooked Analysis would not exist. So go give that a listen if you like audio dramas, radio plays. I like to plug that one every so often. But you can also go to creativehorror.com and check out a lot of the other shows we have. This includes Starkly Lit, Trick or Track, The Witching Hour, eventually Creepy Cooking Staff, and Midnight Marinara, of course, that's also there. We are constantly looking and expanding our roster, but that's what we have on there right now. There's some cool stuff. And it's not all just going to be podcasts. Eventually, we're going to delve into other sort of horror venues and other horror creative projects. So, it's burgeoning and it's growing. The only other thing I'm going to add is that keep an eye out in July. We're going to have our little Midsummer Scream meetup. A bunch of the folks from Creative Horror are all meeting up in Long Beach, California to attend Midsummer Scream. So if you're going to that convention and you happen to see us, you can come say hi. We'll also be live streaming the day before the convention. So if you want to listen to that, that's going to be the 27th, I believe. And that's going to go on for some time. More details forthcoming.
And don't forget to bring protection.
Don't forget to bring protection. And hey, while you're at it, if you want to support either this or Midnight Marinera or Creative Horror in general, there are Patreon. We have a Patreon. Well, I should say in general, there will be a Creative Horror Patreon, but I think each of the individual creators is going to have a Patreon. But yeah, Midnight Marinera's Patreon is open. We have stuff there. It's cool. And you can get in on Patron's Poison, much like username 159 did. By the way, thank you, username, for suggesting this one. This is going to turn into a two-parter, so I hope you're happy.
All right.
Stop sending us these giant stories, for the love of God!
And I think to close out the episode, what do you say, if you and I name the same movie at the same time on the count of three, we do a podcast about it?
That sounds good. Skype delay, okay. Be damned. Ready?
All right, so here we go. 1, 2, 3. Mortal
Gunston
Kombat.
Checks in.
Damn it. All right, well, no podcast.
Okay, that's fair.
Good evening, intrepid listeners. This is the Pasta Shade, the host of Midnight Marinera, and this podcast is part of creativehorror.com. A network of podcasts and creators working together to build a constructive community of horror fans. For more content like this, visit us at creativehorror.com.